Even going last night, I mean, it's brutal sometimes. The dudes will just come up to you and you just know they're just spazzing out. And I know I was like that. That's the tough part. The tough part is I understand that I was at that point when I first started, like when I really first started.
Yeah.
My first week, I was erratic with my movements. In my mind, I was being, you know, more agility based, but I probably looked like a fucking weasel running around like in circles. But you start to like see that and you just go, yeah, my ankles and my ligaments don't want to be around that.
Jacked up, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd rather be around the upper belts. The upper belts, they kick your ass. I mean, I rolled with the dude Manny, who is the instructor for the Monday class. African Samurai, that's my man. He's the shit. It's the shit. Shout out to Manny, bro. And he's just a monster. And we worked with, I mean, I gave him a challenge for a couple of moves to like not let him just so easily pass things. I know he let me work. He's a fucking black belt. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I got.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was gonna beat him, but you know, and we were respectful. And when he goes into a submission, it's smooth and it's clean, and you just okay, tap, we're done. But you get other dudes that are trying to rip arm bars, man, and they don't know the difference. So I've been injured for a while, and now I started rolling again in the white belt class. So a couple of these kids haven't rolled with me before.
Yeah.
I've been doing competition class. I've been doing all these other things. I'm not a master of jujitsu, but probably better off than a one stripe, two stripe white belt at that point. So I've rolled with this kid. He's like, hey, do you want to roll? I said, sure, man. This kid, Frank, he's awesome. And we start going back and forth. And he tries to, and he's heavier than me. He's probably like 220, 230. And he tries to use his weight to bring me into him, into his guard, because we started on our knees.
Yeah.
And I literally just like grabbed him and I just rode him over to like him pulling himself back, and I just rode him in and I just knee sliced, and I was right on his side, and you just hear him just go, oh man. Yeah, like, yeah. So here we go, it started. And bro, I went for an arm bar. He wasn't giving it to me, and I just did what you're supposed to do, where if you have both the arms right here, you almost take the hand, so his head's here and you're sitting on your side, you almost take this hand going through the arm, go behind your head like you're the Fonz, like you're checking the hair, and then you just peel the knuckles off, and now the arm is all yours, man. It's so crazy how it works. That's you literally just you're threading through and fighting it, and then all of a sudden, the last one, you just go whoop, bam, and then you peel the knuckles away from his grip, and you're defenseless. You can't. So he instantly starts tapping. I said, yo, I know we haven't rolled together, bro. Any submission, I go super slow.
Yeah,
I am not going to be the one to snap someone's arm. Not doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure with sparring and stuff like that.
Yeah, like sparring, like now where I'm at, like you got these amateurs that jump in the ring or even pros that just turn pro, and they're trying to take my head off, like just try and make a statement and whatever. Go around and tell people like, oh, I was in there with Vargas and I took it to him, and I'm not going all out. But they're, and like I said, like you said, I used to do the same thing when I was young. I'm like, I'm going in with this pro and I'm an amateur. Like I want to make my point. And they're just teeing off on me, like swinging as hard as they can, going so hard. And I'm like, oh, just relax. Like there's no need for it. Like really, it's sparring. Like we do go hard in sparring, but when I'm in there with these guys that are amateurs, I'm not going to try and take your head off, but they're trying to take my head off.
Yeah. It's, you know, the going for the crown type shit.
Yeah.
Like if I can prove myself in this scenario, then why can't I get a title shot? Why can't I get something where I can attain the belt and do things? It's a weird type of dynamic, especially in the boxing world, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, jiu-jitsu, stuff like that, it's there's rankings sort of, like with the ADCC and the IBJJF, like they have who the really guys that come through every tournament and they just obliterate everybody, and then they'll do team matches and whatnot. So there's ranking systems to then go to the bigger tournaments and then win it and become, you know, like a Gordon Ryan or something like that. But you guys... I watch it with golf too.
Mm-hmm.
You have those rankings and they're constantly moving. So it's like, maybe not as volatile as golf, because the competition's weekly.
Yeah.
Obviously you have fight camps and then you have a fight months and months apart from each other. And then the rankings start to dip and exchange. But when you start looking at just like, oh, who's number one? Okay. How do I get there? Oh, I got to fight this guy. I got to go to this guy. I got to keep making these leapfrog type jumps to get up to that spot.
Yeah.
You know, and then while he's doing that, targets on his back the entire time that he's sitting at the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
So you are what position are you in now?
Ranked 14th in the world, right?
14th in the world. So at 14th in the world, every person underneath you.
Yeah.
And that's even people that aren't ranked. you're their number one.
Yeah.
And you, the target's on your back. So if they get the opportunity to go, oh shit, I get to like train with Vargas a little bit. You know, I think the normal male ego and psyche is like, I have to make a point that I deserve to be up here too.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that they want to undermine you at your stage of the game and what you're doing, but they just, they see this as, oh, this is a little slice of an opportunity.
Yeah.
If there's a social clip of me giving him a hard time in the ring, maybe some people will see.
Yeah, it's who sees it. Exactly. That's the thing. And I get it. Like, you don't know. I've gone sparring and I've sparred, you know, when I first turned pro, some of these top guys in the world and world champions, and you don't know who's there. You know, their manager could be there, their promoter could be there, and they see you and now they're like, hey, I like him. Let me, you know, sign him or turn him pro, whatever the case is. And so I get it. You never know. They come to spar me. You don't know who's there. Like, a few times they've come and there's some people there and there's some websites there or, you know, like Newsday, whatever. And they're like, I'm gonna go at him to get my name out there. I completely get it. You know, I just, now I'm going in there with like an amateur. I'm like, all right, I'm going to work with him, whatever the case is. And I get in there. And I get cracked with like a right hand. I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, he's coming. And that's every
tough.
Time. Like
and
that.
That's tough in your position too, because you have to have some reservation when you're doing that. Just like a black belt that rolls with me.
Yeah.
Like if I get him in a good move, he's got to be able to hold himself in check for a hot second. I know. Yeah. I know everyone's going to be like, oh, Nick, you're not getting any black belt in a good move. All right, maybe let's just say the planets aligned and for some reason he was tired after doing 900 rounds before me. And now for some reason, Nick was able to just slip a move in and get something real quick. Yeah. Not a tap, not a, but put him in a weird position for a hot second. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They have to have that reservation and wherewithal to just kind of go step back and go, oh, okay, like, all right, maybe I'll give you a shot now and that, be like,
exactly,
this is what you want, like, chill.
That's what it is. I'll like smile, you know, I won't take it personal, but I'll land my shot after that to make sure, be like, I am here, like, I'm gonna land my shots if you want to go hard, like, but I'm not gonna go out there and knock you out and then I look like an idiot, like, Vargas knocked out this freaking
the eyes are on you amateur, at that point, man.
And I'm like, well, I just got cracked by a right hand before, but no one gets that.
No, nobody saw that. They didn't realize it. They were like, oh, well, I thought he just like rolled off your chin. All of a sudden, you just started going crazy on him. They're like, no, man, he put some shit behind it.
Yeah, so it's like, it's a tough position.
Yeah.
And then it's tough to spar the guys in the top 15 because it's like, well, we can possibly fight down the road.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird, it's like, do I go hard against this guy now too? Because you take it to him, he's not going to fight you in the pros. And that's happened to me before. When I first turned pro, I'd spar some guys and take it to him. And when the opportunity came to fight them, I was like, no. You know? And I've sparred guys too before where I'm like, you know, in the pros, that would be a tough match. So it's a weird game.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird game. It is. And I know you were going back and you were trying to get the fight with... what's his name?
Oh, Garcia.
Garcia.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't getting any fights. He was ranked number 4 at the time. I was 14 in the same division. So I'm like, why not? You know, he might take it. And now he pulls off this insane win over the weekend.
So let me ask you this. Was it actually a good fight? Now, I did not see it. I didn't watch it at all. But you start looking at the comments of people. And I find it interesting that there are so many people, like a split decision of people just saying like, it was a shit fight. It was a great fight. This is what you guys call good fights. This is why MMA is growing. Mm-hmm. And you get such a split down the middle of like, was it good or wasn't it good? I didn't even watch clips. Actually, that's a lie. I did see one where he knocked him down.
Yeah.
And he was like circling around to the left side of the ring afterwards, wherever the camera was placed. I don't know if that was like the defining moment where he was winning or that was the first knockdown. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but like you, from your experience of viewing that fight, you viewed it as a great fight.
I thought it was a good fight.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to watch it. I'm like, I'm not watching this. I don't know what's going on with Garcia. I was like, I don't want to watch it. And then I was like, I had a weird feeling. I'm like, man, he's going to throw that left hook and he might catch Haney and it might change the whole fight. And I start watching it first round. That left hook lands. And that's like the one thing he has, but he's so good at it. Land that left hand, hurt him. I'm like, whoa, this might be a weird fight. So then, it was a good fight. I mean, he was losing most rounds. Haney was winning him, but you could tell Haney was a little weary of his power. And then Garcia would drop him again. Now the whole fight turned around and he'd drop him again. So no, it was a good fight. It was entertaining. I think people in the fight game really know, it's never like, that was a good fight. It's always like, oh, it was this, it was that. It's
everyone
always,
bitches about
someone's
everything.
Always gonna
everyone bitches about everything though.
Yeah,
that's in every everything. That's in everything. The new Forerunner dropped, yeah, and everybody who's been waiting for it, they're like, fuck this, this is what they took this long to do. But then other people are going, oh my god, it's amazing. And
yeah,
same thing,
it's like
with
the movie Roadhouse. Yeah, again, I thought it was,
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
It was supposed to be corny and cheesy and let Conor
McGregor was out. Great. I thought he was awesome.
But that's the thing, people are like, he's a terrible actor. I'm like he just played
He's better than some A-listers, yeah, man. Yeah, I tell you what, he played the role.
Yeah, like, it was corny. You know, I remember seeing comments like, oh, when they hit the piano, they're like, oh, that's not on tune.
That's
on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be like that.
I'll tell you what, man. My man Gyllenhaal got shredded for that movie. Ripped. I kept looking at his abs. I'm like, yo, my man is diced.
No, I know.
He's fucking veined up and diced.
Me and my boy were like, damn.
Yeah.
Like,
That's like every time Hugh Jackman does a Wolverine movie,
yeah,
and he's just shredded the bone. I'm like, yo, how much gear are they gonna put this dude on every time they bring him back? They put him in retirement, and they bring him back out, and they're like, all right, dust him off, all right, shoot him up with some shit, and get him back out there.
Him and McGregor just jacked in the movie.
Yeah, and McGregor definitely put on size, and that fight with Chandler is gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
that's gonna be an interesting fight.
McGregor comes back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, from the fight perspective, especially in your shoes, you didn't want to take a lot of time off originally.
Yeah.
You find it gets, you know, I'm sure you find you get rusty. And
yeah, you get rusty.
You lose your edge.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually a thing that always amazed me about guys in the upper tier. It's like, I know you have that target on your back, but at the same time, don't you want to stay, you know, fighting to stay at that point?
Yeah.
You know, but I guess guys are just worried about the legacy factor. Now, how long can I retain this belt and how long can I retain this title?
Yeah.
Versus like, the dude who's coming up and just wants to get as many fights as he can.
Yeah. And I think you need a break sometimes. I think McGregor was at the top for so long and fighting, you know, fight after fight and tough fights. I think it was just a lot for him. Like, he blew up in fame and then it's just a lot to be training and train and train. So I think he got that motivation now again, like taking that time off. He's like motivated. He's definitely going to train hard, stuff like that. But in the ring aspect is going to be different for him. Like when he first gets hit by that small glove or gets grabbed, and it's like, you forgot what it's like, kind of. So it's like a shock at first.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be motivated because you get that motivation once you're away for a little bit. You're like, I'm ready to go.
I fucking hope so. He's one of the most entertaining dudes to watch. Like, yeah, whether you like him or you don't, you have to agree. Entertainment value, yeah, he is at the top. I mean, just the shit talking, the showmanship, him and the Mayweather stuff, the banter that they were doing back and forth was, I mean, it was top notch.
Yeah.
Even if, let's say all of it was staged, all of it was fake, I don't even care. Like, whatever you want to say it was the case. But when you start listening to some of the shit that they were going back and forth on each other, I was like, yo, man, that's entertaining shit.
Yeah, it's natural. What they have is natural. You can't just think of stuff off the top of your head like that and say it, you know, just like that.
Yeah.
Just be so witty with it.
He's got a fucking school bag. He can't even read. And you're just sitting there like, oh my God, like the 50 Cent stuff that he was ripping into Mayweather years and years ago. It's crazy, dude.
Him against Aldo, like he's finding Brazilian words to say.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy is nuts.
He's like, I'm going to murder you in Brazilian.
Yeah, he's like,
in Portuguese.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Portuguese.
I was like, what's he saying? And he's like, it means this. Like,
yeah.
He's just Googling how to say stuff in Brazilian. He's like, this is my country. It was like, Chael Sonnen too.
Yeah.
He was amazing at it.
Chael Sonnen was great. Yeah, every time. I think that was in Roadhouse. I think that was a callback to Chael with, what's his name? Where he, they were on The Ultimate Fighter. What is that guy's name? Oh my God.
Was it Rampage? No, it wasn't him in
it's gonna drive me crazy. Now it's gonna drive me crazy. It was the one where he said, I can't let you get close.
Oh yeah.
The dude who looks like Easter Island head.
Yeah.
He's got that fucking mongoloid head from just all the beatings he's gotten over the years.
I love that video. It blew up during COVID.
Yes, I can't let you get close.
Yeah. It sounds like he's joking when he says it.
Yeah, he sounds like an action figure. I can't let you get close. What is his fucking name? Vanderlei Silva.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah.
I can't believe I couldn't even think of that name. Yeah, dude. That.
Man, it's not like your ass. Man, you're never going to forget what I'm going to do with you. You're going to sleep a lot. You're going to see.
Would you tell me?
You're going to see. You're going to see what I'm going to do.
But I feel like.
I'm going to shake the hands, but no.
Yeah. Do I.
Good morning. I'm going to hurt you. I don't like you, Hinda. Don't you not like you?
Hinda,
now. Well, no.
Please stop. I can't let you.
I'll tell you what, he stumped that.
He did.
Yo,
he
got that, man.
He's so calm too. So yeah. I'm like, dude, stop. I can't let you get close.
Yeah. So, and I want you to, I actually have a question for you in terms of like the boxing stuff. So let's think back to your first time in the ring. Mm-hmm. Were you calm?
My
first time you
first
ever,
time ever, ever as just, an amateur.
It's no, not even for a fight. It's time to spar.
Oh.
Were you calm? Or was it like a very surreal experience where it was a lot emotionally for you? Because for me, my first couple times grappling was a very like, whoa, like you're trying to figure shit out and you're just like, you don't really know a lot. And you're trying to block punches. Yeah. You're trying to slip things and start hitting and you don't have that technique. You don't have that stamina yet. And then now last night, my boy Beethoven, who's been on the podcast, I guess he saw me rolling with a couple of kids.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but lately I'll be all animated like I usually am. I'll be all animated. Yo, what's up, baby? You know, dap somebody up that I'm about to roll with. And I go, all right, let's get it. And I get into this like weird, straight face, calm, like, and I'm just sitting there and I'm feeling like, where are they trying to sweep me? Yeah. Where are they trying? My brain kind of just shuts off and I just feel what's going on. And afterward, and every time, like I passed everybody's guard every single time. And I walked over to him and he goes, are you having fun? Like, is everything okay? And I go, oh yeah, I'm having a great time. He goes, because you're just, you look so, I go, oh yeah, it's like my poker face when I'm rolling now.
Yeah.
So I got, at this point, a year in now, I'm not really like that how I was when I first started, which is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But what was your first experience like?
Yeah, first experience. I mean, I used to spar with my dad in the basement. So I had the sparring aspect, but when I went to the gym for the first time, I think I was 8, and I got in the ring to spar.
I was stressed about Pokemon cards. Yeah, my man was out there sparring.
Yeah. I got into the ring and I was like, I was freaking out because now people are watching you. You're self-conscious about your form and how you look and getting hit by someone else. I didn't know who it was. And he was like maybe 13. I was 8.
It's a big difference at that age.
You know, and getting hit and stuff. Yeah, it was like that for a while though. I mean, I didn't feel comfortable like with what I could do until I was like 12 in boxing. So it was a few years of just freaking out every time I got into sparring.
Yeah. Getting those jitters, those pregame
getting
jitters.
Getting beat up. I mean, that's how I got better. I was getting beat up, throwing me in there with older guys.
That's what I do.
Beat me up. And then as I got older, once I was older, turned around. So that's how you get better. But yeah, it was definitely, I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
I mean, for a while, even all my fights, my amateur fights, nervous wreck.
What would be going through your head?
Everything. But I felt nauseous. Like, oh, am I going to get knocked out? Am I going to get hurt? Embarrassed? And it still goes through my head. But it's not like that. Like,
it's prevalent.
It's just natural. It's natural. You just don't know in combat sports.
Yeah.
So it never went away. It's just controlling it and having confidence in what you could do now. So, yeah. But I remember those days freaking out, shaking in the car, driving to Brooklyn to go spar.
It's a long drive to be freaking out.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And you do bad and then you 40, go home.
45 like, minutes, hour. Yeah, you're just like, fuck, man.
Awkward ride home.
Yeah.
My dad's just like, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. I'm like, I know.
I know. I tried.
I know. I was trying my best.
I tried.
So you got to run more. You got tired. I'm like, I know. It's probably my nerves.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. That's And so I've done filming for people where I've gone to events and they didn't do as well as they anticipated. Mm-hmm. And that's bodybuilding. That was football a couple of times that I did some football stuff for corrections. And man, that is a tough ride home, man. When you were so on cloud nine, excited, leading up to it, getting ready. We got all the training done.
Yeah.
Now is the time to display everything. And then just the performance just, for some reason, is lackluster.
Yeah.
For whatever reason it is.
Even if you win, it's like that. You still think like that. Because especially in the fight game, you could be on point all training camp, like sparring, you're looking perfect. And then fight night, you have an off night. And then my last fight, I did not fight anywhere near the way I should have fought. And it still bothers me to this day. I hate watching it. I can't watch it. I'm like, what was I doing here? What was I doing there? I did not feel good at all in the ring. And I knew it. You could just feel it.
I'll tell you what, man. You got knocked down in that first, it was that first round?
Yeah, first round.
First round, you got knocked down real quick. And I just went, oh.
Yeah. Oh, place went quiet. I was like, I'm down two rounds now.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because you get dropped. It's like losing two rounds.
Damn, I didn't know that. So can you explain that scoring?
Yeah, so usually in boxing, if you get knocked down, so it's a 10-point scoring system. You win a round, you know, boxing, it's 10-9. So if you win, you get to 10, your opponent gets to 9. And it adds up like that to
even if they it is. So even if they didn't do well, they still get a 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
95% of the time, unless they really got beat up, but even then it's rare.
Like, give him a fucking 3.
Yeah, that yeah. Display. Yeah, yeah. give him a three. That would be great. You'd be up like 6 rounds.
Yeah.
So if you get dropped, it's usually a 10-8 round. So that's like losing 2 rounds.
Gotcha.
So when I came back to the corner, I was messed up because I'm like, I'm down 2 rounds already. And then when I knew I won the next 2, I'm like, oh, great. I just tied it up. I should be up, you know, whatever, 4 rounds to nothing. So that was a rough moment.
And what happened? He just caught you with the wrong, so like just a quick one?
Yeah, because he had long arms and I knew it. Like freak long arms. Like a 72-inch reach, damn. Which for my, I have 68, and for my weight class, like, it's average.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, he had the reach of like a middleweight. So, and he was my height, but you could just see his arms were like past his knees. I'm like, all right.
Oh, Jesus, what am I fighting, Gumby?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Damn, Mr. Fantastic,
yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah.
He's hitting you from the corner.
So I knew it going into the fight. I knew he had the long reach, and he kept setting up that right hand. He was throwing it to the body every time. Body, and he was landing it because his arms are so long. So I'm like trying to figure out the range. And it's only his first round, so it takes me a little bit to figure it out. He goes like he's throwing that right hand to the body and just comes up with it. And I was stepping back.
Like that, and then he came up.
Yeah, he just went like he was leaning down and just came up with the punch. And he caught me. I wasn't hurt. I was off balance, you know.
But a knockdown.
Almost caught myself.
But a knockdown's a knockdown.
Knockdown's a knockdown. I was looking like at the ref, like maybe he's going to call a slip. And he started counting. I'm like, oh, and it's brutal. I mean, you were there.
Yeah.
It's just like you hear like a gasp.
Yeah.
Crowd. Because it's my crowd.
The place goes silent.
Yeah. And then he's looking at my crowd, you know, doing all these antics because he was a freaking wacko.
Interesting guy.
Interesting. Staring at me in the back in the locker room, just doing all these, trying to get in my head and stuff. And I knew that was coming. And then he did that. I was like, oh, man. And that changed my fighting style because at first I felt good. I was like, all right, like, I'm moving on, landing my shots. I'll get going once I figure him out. Then he dropped me, and it threw me off because now I was cautious about getting dropped again.
Yeah.
Now that's technically 4 rounds in his favor. Now you're in the hole.
Yeah. So and how, do you get back? How did you get back from that? A knockout?
I would have to knock him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just very cautious that whole fight. Like, I could have pushed more. I could have pressed it. I could have probably hurt him more, but I was like, let me just... I'm sorry to the crowd if it wasn't as entertaining, but I'm like, I got to do what I got to do to win.
I'm sure everybody in the crowd will admit that having you win is the more important outcome of anything.
Yeah.
They don't care if it's a slower paced match or whatever, or you know, anything like that. Having this, which you said earlier in that week that you were going to obtain, that is the end all be all.
Yeah,
so.
That was the goal. That was what I had to do, and that's what I had to do to win. I've done it before where... You know, I'm like, let me give an entertaining fight. And I just go out there and brawl. I'm walking out with lumps on my face. And hey, whatever. That's what I do is fight. But with this fight, it was just too risky. And being in that position to, you know, win this belt and get that ranking, I wasn't going to go out there and blow it because, you know, I wanted to entertain the fans and stuff like that. I would love to. That's my goal. You're a fighter. You want to entertain. I think it was a good fight, but I just played it smart. Like, I'd land my shot and move. And
at the end of the day, it's your fight. It's not the audience's fight.
Yeah, it's my fight.
You have to fight it the way that you know. And now, was this the plan that you had coming in, knowing that this is how he fought, or did you have to switch it up while you were experiencing it live?
Switched it. Like, 180 from what I was going to do. Like, I had him going backwards that first round, and I was going to pick it up and keep pushing him back because he likes coming forward. So I knew he didn't like going backwards. His footwork wasn't the best. And then once that happened, he got the confidence, started coming forward. So I'm like, now I got to do the opposite and let me move. And that's a good thing my dad and my trainers have always instilled on me is be able to adapt. Some fighters just fight one way. And my dad's like, you got to go be able to go to plan B, plan C, plan D if you have to. And that's what we did. Once he dropped me, I came back there like, all right, you're going to have to be smart now. Just pick your shots and move. Pick your shots and move instead of pressing the action like I wanted to. Because I think I could have stopped him in the later rounds if I pressed it, but there was no need for it.
Yeah. And what did you feel like was some of the advantages that you had during it, though, during the actual fight? Were you hitting him harder than he was hitting you? Were you getting in between certain areas?
It was more my footwork and my speed I knew I had on him. He was slower. He would come in wild sometimes. So just my movement that fight, just going back and forth from side to side. Like he couldn't keep up with that. Like he started missing every right hand after that. He wasn't really landing, and I was landing just clear points. But I wasn't sitting on him to really hurt him. It was more like, let me make it clear that I'm hitting him with, you know, 2 to 3 shots and then move and get out the way.
Yeah.
2 to 3 shots, move and get out the way. And that's what it was, just the footwork and my cardio. But like I said, I didn't feel on point for that fight. I think the job, just working a full-time job and then going to fight, I felt it. Like my lower back, just from wearing the gum belt, which weighs, what, 30 pounds?
The Batman utility belt.
Yeah, 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 Batman. Yeah. So that's funny.
That's great.
Conversations from before.
Yes. Yes.
So I felt it. Just mentally, I'm usually very strong, focused. I was a little bit off in that fight. Just because, just work, it's just a lot, you know. I get stuck at work and then have to go train at 11 p.m. and then go to bed and then wake up to go back to work. It was just brutal. I think it was too much handling both.
So yeah.
I was a little bit off. It was more finding a way to win.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's tough, man. I actually wanted to ask you about the weight cutting. I want to shut that because I keep hearing the blinds opening. It's so fucking annoying. I wanted to ask you about the weight cutting because I got you when you were all bushy-eyed and happy.
Yeah.
What was the rest of that weight cutting like for that? Because, man, I saw you step on that scale and I was like, oh, that's a different Alex.
Bad. Bad. I'll.
You can stay. Don't move.
You want me to keep talking?
Yeah, keep talking, man. You know how we do.
Yeah. The weight cut. Yeah, it was brutal. It was probably my toughest one in my entire career. I'm getting older now. You know, So the weight doesn't come off as easy.
Yeah.
And I remember it was just, I haven't made 140 in about 3 years. And that's the weight I had to come in at. If I didn't make the weight, I'd get fined and I wouldn't be able to win the belt. So I was freaking out. Like, I haven't made 140 in 3 years. If I don't make the weight, I'm getting fined. You know, from my fight check, and then I can't win the belt. So everything would go out the window pretty much. I'd be fighting for nothing, you know, no belt, nothing. But he could win the belt. So I was freaking out. When we did the podcast, it was early on in the week.
It was Monday, I think.
Monday.
It was. We did it on a Monday.
Yeah. So I wasn't at that point yet. I was already down in weight. But once I hit like Wednesday, brutal. I mean, that's when you start cutting the water. Take out the carbs, the sodium, and I couldn't talk. I really could not speak. I could barely stand up, you know, working out in a full sauna suit and then jumping in a hot bath, 10 minutes jumping out, wrapping yourself up in plastic, just laying there, jumping back in the bath. And then I hit like I was at 144, I remember. And I laid on my couch and I just wrapped up and I kept sweating. Just nonstop, and it was so uncomfortable. I'm like, I'm not moving. My couch was soaked. I'm like, I'm not moving because the weight's gonna come off. It's gonna come off. I lost like 2 pounds laying there.
Damn.
Then I knew I still have 2 pounds to go. You know, I'd go to the bathroom. Like, there's nothing in me. Like,
yeah, there's nothing.
Trickle of like
urine coming out.
Any
nothing.
Trickle of urine, I'm happy though. I'd be like, oh, that's 0.2, and I'd step on a scale, it'd be like 0.2 ounces, and once I finally made the weight, I was just in such a bad mood. I mean, because it's a lot. Like, you know, you're on weight. Now you get to weigh-ins, and it's this whole process. You have to see a doctor.
Yeah, doctor. You got this fucking guy eyeballing you.
Yeah, and you see the questions the doctors ask.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can't do that when I'm normal. Like, when I'm fine. Like, this is not easy. Now I'm cutting weight. Now, oh, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm great.
I'm doing as great as I'm going
to
be doing. Yeah.
I need to get on scale because I'm trying not to pass out. I pass out, now the fight's canceled. So thankfully, I made the weight, came under it. But the rehydration was tough too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I struggled. Usually, you have to ease into it to get that weight back up because your body hasn't eaten. It's not used to it. And I can say it now because the fight's over, but I drank like my Pedialyte too fast. I ate too fast. I ended up throwing up.
Yeah.
And I felt horrible. I messed up. I did it too fast. And
because you're probably so famished, so thirsty.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. Oh, that's why I get something in me.
Yeah. You have to ease your body into it to get used to it again. That drank and ate too fast and I just threw it right up. And yeah, that whole last fight, it was tough all around, from the weight cut to work to in the ring, getting dropped in the first round. It was a rough one. So for the next one, I would need to just take off of work. At this level, I can't do both. There's no way.
And how long you'd have to take off for a whole camp type of situation?
I'd take at least a month and a half off.
Would that be using all the vacation time?
The job says they'll work with me now.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is nice. They,
I mean, truthfully, listen, I don't mean to interject, but truthfully, you bring a lot of value to the job. I mean, you know, you're a good dude. You're an officer of the community. You're fighting in the community that you police in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you're almost like a role model to look at as somebody that's of good stature. So they want to push that more so than, you know, a cop they can't stop having drunk driving. Dog, stop. Stop.
Stop doing it.
Stop doing it.
Yeah, they said they work with me, which is nice, and it feels good. You know, I could represent the job with it. You know, I could walk out with like the 8-point cap, stuff like that. And, you know, because they don't allow that. So it'd be nice to walk out with the 8-point cap, has the PBA on it, and represent the job. And they said they'd give me off. I don't know how. Something we'd figure out when the time comes. But
if they transition you into the health and wellness department,
something, admin behind the desk, whatever the heck it is, that would help. Because, like I said, there's no way I could hang with these guys with a full time. That's all they do. That's their full time job.
Yeah,
training. You know, 3 times a day, and I used to do that, and I felt great. Now, you know, I'm arresting some piece of shit that's cursing at me.
You're getting texts from me. Yo, if this motherfucker outside my house doesn't shut up, I'm going outside with Kenji.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm stuck with this dirtbag right now. But after I head over.
Bro, dude, those kids were so loud that night I texted you. Oh my God, they were so bad. I was like, bro, it's bad. Like, it's normally I'm just like, I close my window. I say something.
Yeah.
I say something like, yo, bro, go anywhere else besides here. Yeah. Just go anywhere else. Yeah. Just, you're right in front of my home. Just go somewhere else.
The good thing is, by the end of June, that's going to be my steady car, like that area.
Sick.
So I'll be right there.
I'll just hang out with me. sit on the porch with me. the amount of fights they have there, it'll be slight work. Yeah. I'll make food for us. We'll hang out. Yeah.
We got a good group down here, like my midnight squad. So you're set.
Yeah. Does AJ work up here with you too?
No, he's in, he's over by the mall.
Okay.
That's his car.
I love AJ.
Yeah.
Every now and then he pulls up and he's just like, yo, throw Kenji in the back.
Yeah.
I'm like, and every time Kenji's just like, I'm not going in there.
Yeah. He's like the mall car.
Okay.
And during the days. But yeah, this is going to be all me.
It's tough, man. So, it's tough.
Yeah.
This is tough for me. I'll tell you what, man, there are some fucking interesting people that I walk around with him and I'm like, man, if I didn't have him as the buffer, I'd be in some weird position, like circumstances and positions with people. Like, people just act very strange, and I don't know if it's just people that are just weird, and now they feel like they're just weird outside now. It's crazy.
And then working nights now, like, everyone that calls it is a creature.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, what? They just all come out at night.
Oh yeah, oh
and
yeah.
It could be a simple call, and I'm like, whacked out.
Yeah, they whacked lurch. Out. They lurch around, bro. And like, I was walking. I was walking Kenji last weekend. This past one. Was it this past one? It was. I was walking him this past weekend, and see, that's the problem with having two phones. I never know which one's making noise.
Yeah.
Fucking that's been the bad part about my little experiment of having
one
two
con.
Phones. The one thing. And then when I wanted to text you once, I had the other phone on. This phone was off, so I had to turn this phone on. I was like, damn it. So I'm still balancing it out. But anyway, so I was walking Kenji. It was like, I woke up 4:45 in the morning. It was Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Woke up, wide awake. All right, let's go for a walk. Bring him. I usually walk all the way up to Prime with him.
Okay, yeah.
Nice little walk. He gets exercise. He feels good. And then, dude, I'm done. I feed him, and he's knocked for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Great. Go sit in the corner. And you just get these weird vibes and people, and just these fucking people are just like, they just yell shit, and they say things. And you just look at them, and you go, really, man? Like,
yeah.
dude, just go home. It's 4:45 in the morning. Obviously, your night is ending. My day is just beginning. So,
I'm surprised you haven't seen people sleeping, like, just on the road. I mean, we've had numerous calls after a weekend.
So I did.
The shed? Twice.
So I haven't seen it at the shed. So one time I walked around. I can't really say it because it'll get me flagged on YouTube. But I was walking in front of the Paramount. I swear, dude. And I'm trying to think of a word that I can use instead of the word that this guy used. I'm walking Kenji and I have my headphones on. I was like scrolling. I was getting a song on, whatever, a podcast, whatever I was doing. Didn't even see the dude. Mm-hmm. He was sitting on the corner, on the edge of the street. Okay. So Kenji's on my left. And I'm like walking and the noise canceling headphones are on.
Yeah.
And I hear like noise. What the fuck is that? So I look around, I look at the dog, he's not doing anything. He's looking back. Yeah. And I look and the dude is looking at us saying things while he's like half slumped on the curb. So I go, oh, I was like, my bad, bro. I was like, I didn't know you were talking to me. So I take my headphone off. I said, you talking to, you saying something about me, this and that? And he's like, oh yeah, the thing, this and that. I go, me or the dog? And he goes, you fucking, and he just starts going off. And I go, okay. I was like, hey, buddy, have a good one, man. Yeah. let me tell you, man. It's just like, have a good one. And I just kept walking and he was like screaming. And Kenji, of course, is like, oh, we're doing this. I'm like, no, just keep going. I don't need you biting his ass and dealing with rabies now because this guy definitely has them. So I don't know, man. It's the same thought process of like people that get blacked out drunk.
Yeah.
I think I've only been blacked out maybe once. Mm-hmm. And the only blackout portion was when I was at the bar and I got on the bus back to school because they used to take us to New Haven from Quinnipiac, from Hamden, Connecticut. And I got back on the bus from school. Don't remember that entire bus ride. But I remember getting off the bus and standing there going, how did I get here?
That's scary.
How the fuck did I get back here? I was like, okay, cool. At least I took the right bus.
Yeah.
I didn't take the bus to Saskatchewan.
I know.
Like, what the fuck? So I don't understand that mentality. And one of the biggest issues I had with potentially even dating or seeing girls back in college, especially, I was so into my bodybuilding phase that I was just getting into like the health and why you shouldn't drink all the time and why I was just starting to get the tip of the iceberg. I mean, really the tip of the iceberg. And these girls, their mission every weekend was to get blacked out.
Yeah.
Their mission was to get blacked out. And I used to go to them. I go, you know that blacking out is actually your brain shutting down, right? You understand that, right? That you don't want that to happen. But I mean, listen, cool. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I don't get that. If you want to go out and drink, whatever, but to have the goal of I'm blacking out. Why? Why?
Wild.
What is fun about that?
Dude, I couldn't.
Whenever it's happened to me, I wake up, I'm like.
Yeah, you're genuinely concerned.
I'm like depressed. I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
It's not fun. I'm like, I'm not like, oh yeah, next week I'm doing that again.
Yeah. Oh shit. We're going to do it again next week.
It's great.
No, man.
I don't want to remember what I did. Let's do it again.
Yeah. And you know, just the people that can't handle themselves when they drink, because they're everywhere. I mean, that parking lot that's across from my house, I thought you were going to pull up for the call. It was next morning. This super nice dude who's my neighbor across the street, his girl's car got a huge footprint on the side of the quarter panel. The dude, whoever was there, just literally kicked the side of the car. But from what I understand now, I asked my neighbor upstairs. She saw him doing it. Him and his girl were fighting, and he just started kicking every car in the parking lot.
Oh, nice.
And he kicked the mailbox over too. What possesses someone to do that?
That's
dog. Go home.
That's how it is now. Like you said, people just getting drunk, trying to start fights. I mean, I live on Main Street in Babylon now. I've walked back from the bar alone plenty of times, or whatever I'm doing. Walk off the train, walking home, and cars driving by, like, you're a fucking bitch, like yelling out the window, and I'm like, all right, thanks. Like,
yeah, cool. You have no clue I could knock your ass out.
Yeah,
you have no idea that if you come out here and square up, it's over for you.
That's why I'm like, hey, you want to say something? You want to drive by?
You have no
that's
idea.
Fine by
no
me.
Idea how badly that
don't, don't get out the car.
Yeah.
So things like that, like just working in the village now, we'll drive, you know, around at whatever 4 a.m. and every garbage can is just
thrown
to the side. Like, everyone's just, and they're heavy. They're like big, they're not like plastic, they're big garbage cans. They're like flipping them over. Like, what I just don't understand doing these things, just randomly throwing stuff at cars, whatever the case is. It's just weird. Go out, have a good time.
The glass everywhere bothers me.
That too.
Because Kenji.
Yeah. They just stand there and just.
Oh, yeah. So I think I had said that something to you. I saw kids do that one time at my corner, but there were six of them.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I could probably take three. Maybe. Yeah,
three.
I'm like, maybe if I'm feeling really good.
You took six, that would be a great video.
Yeah, that would be a great video. Horrible arrest, but it would be a great video. But if you arrested me, it would have been good. We'll figure it out. Yeah. I mean, you didn't see anything. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Those kids fell off the curb and hit their faces. But I was like, maybe I could get three if I really was like going crazy. Yeah. I was like, maybe. Because they weren't like big dudes. Nah. They were younger kids. And
probably don't know a thing about fighting.
But you know that kids like that, you go outside and you go, yo, bro, don't do that shit because my dog walks past there. They're with their boys. So they're going to be like, oh, fuck you, and that. And now you're just like, okay, just go inside, Nick. Just shut up. Just go inside. Your night ends right here with your jam-jams in your bed. Just fuck these kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, the glass, the breaking bottles, I never did that. Anybody I hung out with didn't do that either. I had some wild friends. They didn't just like, oh, fuck it, and just break bottles. And dude, it's like a war zone after a Friday, Saturday night out there. You're like, who's defending their home with broken shards of glass out front? What is this?
I know. It's
this the new mine? What is this?
Like, I'm not saying I was a perfect human being. You know, I went to college, things like that. Went out, drank, but doing stuff like that was never in my mind. Like,
destructive. It's just why. This is the place that even if you don't live here, it's the place that we call home, this Long Island, the area, whatnot. I don't know. To me, I would think that you'd want everything to just remain nice. Dude, it's bad enough. The place looks like shit as it is. There's New York, everything.
Yeah.
The place looks like shit as it is. And truth be told, you know, I don't feel like it's ever going to look like a Dubai because nobody takes it seriously. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, they don't punish people for doing shit. What do you give somebody if they break glass or they litter? What, a slap on the wrist and a fine?
Yeah.
A court date maybe?
Yeah, they don't pay it.
Oh. Yeah, great. Yeah. You know, but here I am getting fucking murdered over a traffic light camera ticket because I can't figure out which province of Long Island I'm in. And I go right on red when I fully stop in Huntington, so I should be able to do it down here. Click, nope. Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just got one over here the other day. Oh, my God.
Okay, well, we're going to transition into this now. $45, a $45 ticket, fine.
How much is it?
$45 ticket.
Okay.
Fine. $55 public safety because I'm endangering the public by my right on red. So $55 ticket added onto that. And then there was another $45. So the ticket itself is like $45, but it winds up being $150, $160. So you sit there and you just go, why? Why? I don't understand. Why do I have? I wish I had the fucking ticket with me. It's at my house. I'm not paying it until the day before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna. It's due like May 20th or something like that. I'm not paying it until like the day before. It's insane. No. I got a ticket in Lindenhurst for the parking meters, but it wasn't for the parking meter. It was for a expired registration. And then I went to the court for it. It was on Valentine's Day, ironically.
Yeah.
And the owner of OG, Evan, he was there too. And I go, we have court together on Valentine's Day. Oh my God, you're so cute. We're just like hanging out. And you know, I thought they were going to dismiss it because I had my registration.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. I just didn't have their good one in the window. I didn't even realize I didn't put my sticker in. And so they go, yeah, I mean, we scanned it and you were good the entire time. And I go, okay. They go, yeah, but we still have to give you the ticket because it wasn't displayed for like 3 months, 4 months, whatever it was. And I'm just like, okay. How much is the ticket? $120. Okay. Let me pay, get out of here, because if I stay here any longer, I'm going to be irritated.
I might walk out to one today. I think that you have to pay me there in front of the building to park.
You got to put the badge.
I put my card up there.
Hopefully.
But these don't care.
I know they don't. The parking meters, the meter maids don't want to.
No,
don't want to listen to shit. They actually probably try to get cops.
They're probably like,
this fucking guy thinks he's above the law.
Yeah. I got a 70 on the test, so screw him.
He took my place.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. My mom used to do the construction hack. Put a cone on the top of the car. That was the construction hack for years. My mom bought a cone and everything, and she would just put the cone on top, and the meter maids wouldn't bother you because they think that you're part of a construction job that's going on.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, Karen broke the law nicely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She broke the law nicely. Yeah.
Her name Karen?
Yeah.
That's a Karen thing to
That's
do.
That's a Karen thing to do.
I love it though.
Yo, she gets so mad when anything says, oh, you're such a Karen. She goes, don't fucking call that me sucks. That. I go, be the Karen.
That sucks.
Just doing it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
So now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is the next step in this? Like, where do we go from here? Obviously, we're climbing the ladder. It's Mortal Kombat style. We're climbing their ladders right now.
Yeah.
To the top.
Yeah.
So now what is the next step in getting a fight? Like, do you fight because you're 14th? Do you fight 13th? Or are you going to go to like 10th? What is it?
So this is probably going to be a little long, but it's interesting. What
do it.
We're actually in a weird spot right now. Good spot, but weird spot. So obviously with the ranking, being 14th in the world is huge. But now so much more goes into it, you know, negotiations, this, that, who we're fighting, where we're fighting, money, you know, should be more money now. And, you know, I should get a good opportunity with where I'm at, not be stuck in the same place pretty much. So we're waiting for that offer to get a fight against, you know, someone in the top 15, if not top 25 or even below, but the a bigger opportunity.
Don't you have more to lose though if you fight somebody below you?
I do.
And do they feel that way with the same at the top?
No, because they've offered me some guys that are below me. Good records, but below me in the rankings. It will bump me up even more.
So, oh, just by having wins, it'll bump
you
up.
Just by having a win in the ranking, depending on what goes on, you know, like Ryan Garcia went from 4, now he's going to be number 1 in the WBA. So I could move things without me even fighting. Like I may go up in the rankings and other guys lost, now they get booted. Or since I haven't fought, I could get knocked out of the rankings. It's weird. So pretty much where I'm at is I want the money that I deserve to fight. I don't want to be shortchanged. And you know how it goes with promoters and this and that. And everyone wants to take money and not give the fighter the money they should get. And most fighters take whatever they're offered because that's all they do. So, like, I have to feed my family. Unfortunately, I have a great job. You know, I will make good money, and I love going to work. So I'm not going to fight to be shortchanged money. So we're going back and forth working on, you know, like, I don't want to fight at the Paramount again. You know, I think we outgrow it. I mean, 2 fights in a row, and we sold it out and could have sold more. I don't want to be stuck in that spot. And a lot of people are like, no, you deserve your shot at MSG on an undercard or here or there and get more money. And everyone knows that, but it's hard getting that, you know, saying that and getting that to happen. I know they're in talks right now for a possible fight in Dubai.
Yeah.
You know how it is when we were saying before, everything could be going good and then it falls through. Yeah. So I'm not getting my hopes up.
Until a contract is signed, I don't get excited.
Exactly.
With all my clients, that's with everything.
And even then, my last fight, the contract was signed and the kid pulled out. And I would have been probably ranked 10 in the world. But because it was a change of opponent, last second, I didn't get bumped up as much. And
why wouldn't you get bumped up as much? Is it because this kid that you fought's ranking wasn't as high?
Yeah, the other kid was like 22-3 and backed out because of an injury, which I don't believe at all. So that happened, whatever. It is what it is. But right now where we're at is just going back and forth. And like I said, I don't want to take less. And no, I deserve more. And what drives me nuts is people are like, oh, you're right there. You got to take this fight. You got to do that. I'm like, it's not that simple. I'm like, it drives me nuts. I'm like, if you lost 40 pounds, went through a weight cut, get hit with 8-ounce gloves, go through a full training camp while working a full-time job. Like, do that and then tell me you would want to fight knowing you're getting less than what you deserve.
And, like, and you're putting your body on the line.
I'm putting my body on the line every single time.
Yeah.
I mean,
even leading up to the fight, not just doing the fight.
Yeah, not just the fight. I mean, the sparring, getting hit in the head, it's not healthy. The weight cut, I mean, when I get my blood work checked, I'm all jacked up from weight cut. Like, we're doing permanent damage to our body as fighters going through that. And now knowing I'm not getting paid what I should, it's hard. So that's where we're at. We're working on a lot of different things, seeing you know, the back and forth of what the best option is. And we'll see what happens. But I'd love to fight again. It's just see what happens.
And so what, do you have a timeline for something like this to stay sharp? Because how long was you obtaining this belt now? October
28th.
Okay.
So I would have liked to have been in the ring by now. You know, there's fights at the Paramount in May, but like I said, we moved on from that. And
when would the next undercard be for a Madison Square Garden fight?
It was, I think, like June. But, you know, if people don't want to pay to get me on that card, you know, sometimes just a little bit. I bring a lot of money to the Paramount. It's like, oh, this is easy money for us, but not me. You know, I'm doing all the work. I'm bringing in ticket sales, stuff like that. You know, put the money out, get me on the card on ESPN, you know, an undercard or whatever the case is, whatever Prime, Amazon Prime now is doing fighting. Because I could see it done. I see guys that aren't even ranked where I'm at and don't sell as much as that I do, and they're getting on the cards because someone's getting them on it. So that's the thing. The timeline, I would like to stay active. I don't want to have that ring rust anymore. I always said by 30, I want to know what I'm doing with fighting. Like, I don't want to keep fighting if I'm not there yet. And it would be hard to walk away from. And I'm not saying that's what I'm doing. But, like, for myself, like, I never gave myself enough credit in anything I've done. And, like, for one, after winning this, I finally was like, oh, you've done good. Like, you're okay. Like, I remember saying I wanted to win the Golden Gloves and get this chain when I was 10 years old. I did that. And everything I set out to do, I fortunately did. You know, I remember saying I wanted to get my college degree. I did. I remember saying I wanted to become a Suffolk County police officer. I did. I remember saying I wanted to turn pro. I did. And I did more than I ever thought, you know, to get become ranked number 14 in the world and win the WBA title. Like, I finally told myself, like, you've done good. You know, like, if boxing were to come to an end, like, you've done good. And I finally let myself, you know, give myself a pat on the back by doing that, because, like I said, I've been too hard on myself. It was never enough. Like, I've got to do more. So if I became number one in the world, I'd also be like, all right, let's go to a different weight class and win that. So if that were to happen and I do retire from fighting, like, I'd be content with what I did. Do I want that to happen? No. But luckily, you know, I have a good job. I love going to work. Like I said, I'd be okay.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's definitely tough. Yeah. It's tough because, you know, we live so far in the future that we forget about what we're doing currently.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking about everything that we want to attain, the more money, the house, mm-hmm. the relationships, the, you know, the pack of Akitas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you start thinking about all these things and you lose sight of, like, what you're doing currently. I'm guilty mm-hmm. of it. I've done it for years. I've yeah. always been hard on myself.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Even just like with, you know, you get excited about clients and things that you're doing mm-hmm. and, oh, I got to get bigger clients.
It's yeah.
like, just enjoy the client you have right now.
Yeah. And it's a good thing.
Things will come. To have like aspirations, but you've at the same time, it'll burn you out.
Yeah. You've also got to give yourself some credit and be like, doing good, you know, things will, you know, I'll grow my clientele, whatever it is. We'll get bigger fights. But you got to give yourself that pat on the back too.
Yeah. Like, and it's tough too sometimes. It's tough.
Oh, it's tough. It's hard. Yeah. I just realized, I was like, I think my mom was the one that was like, you've done a lot. Like, you need to, like, chill. You know, it, like, right now, it's great being a normal human being. Like, I haven't gotten to do that. You know, birthdays, I've missed birthdays, holidays, dinners with my family, you know, weddings for my close friends. I missed all that, which I know it comes with.
There's a price to be paid.
Yeah, price to be paid. I've been doing it my whole life, so I've missed everything. So right now, it is nice to, hey, if I do want a slice of pizza, it's okay to have it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I do want to go out to eat with my family, like, I can go, or just not get a piece of grilled chicken when I go with them and be miserable. So it's been nice. It was nice to have the holidays with my family and stuff like that.
That was like the perfect time to fight, man. That was the perfect time. That was
perfect.
Yeah.
That was perfect. Right before the holidays, got to eat Thanksgiving, this and that. Didn't have to miss it with them. It's been nice hanging out with them and being with friends, stuff like that. So it's been good.
Good. Good. Hey, dude, I want to see you fucking climb these ranks, man. I want to see you climb these ladders.
Me too.
I want to get your take on the bare knuckle boxing, because I've become very interested in it. It is a brutal sport, man. I watch those fights, man.
I'm good on that.
It is not you to do it.
No.
Yeah, not you to do it. But man, dude, I watch those fights and I'm cringing the entire time. It is brutal.
Bare knuckle. I can't imagine. I mean, just the 8-ounce gloves we wear with the wrap under it, which is like a cast, hurts. It freaking hurts. Bare knuckle. That's savagery.
Dude.
That's just, I would not want to, I don't know how they're sitting there trading.
Trading. Hit with. Going in.
I mean, leaving the ring with just scars everywhere.
Let's see, where is it?
I don't even know how much they're getting paid. It can't be a lot. Can't be.
Who's the guy that's the top one? What do bare knuckle fighters make? Here we go. They usually pay an average fighter between $10,000 to $30,000 per fight. Is that good?
That's terrible.
Okay.
That is horrible, okay. Especially for that to get.
Not including performance bonuses.
Yeah. So you make 50 grand tops, I'm saying, on getting hit with a bare knuckle. Walking out with how many stitches and broken bones and
bare knuckle fight hands. Club, 28 salaries and payouts. The salaries for most fighters range from 2,000 to 9,000, with a few fighters in the $20,000 range. Although the purses appeared low for, although the purses, hold on 1 second. I got to click the article. Eventually, guys, I'll have a, screen and we'll be able to link all this in. I think my camera keeps turning off. I don't care.
I did it last time, right?
Yours usually, this fucking thing, whatever. That's rolling, the middle one. I don't care. I don't care. There's always, I stress about shit like that with the electronics and shit like
that. Yeah, last time you were like just constantly looking.
Like, as long as I know yours is on, yeah. I don't care. People see my face enough. Let them watch you.
Yeah.
Let them watch you. Here we go. Although the purses appeared low for a violent evening's worth of work, the fighters likely took home a decent amount for sponsorships. And then the article ended. That was it.
Yeah, these guys must be broke or something. I don't see how you do that for fun.
Let's see. Bare knuckle fight.
It's called the boxing at that point. You make more being a nobody.
Say what, these dudes, some of these dudes are animals, man. I think these are just dudes that just like to fight like that.
It's got
these
be.
Are dudes that just, these are the dudes that are at the bar outside of fucking Finley's.
Oh, who is it? Mike Perry? He's doing it.
I think he's one of the big ones.
Oh, God. Did you see his face?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, dude. Yeah, he's wild. I want to get banned off YouTube. We're going to hitting showmanship songs. Show me a knockout, bro. That's what I want to see right now. I've never been hit with boxing gloves. I can only imagine how, I've gotten into a couple of fights, but not like this, dude.
No, where it's just like, this is what we're doing for 3 rounds. You know, street fights, what, 30 seconds?
Oh. And you know these are hitting like trains.
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting bone on bone. Like they're breaking their hands, they're breaking their face.
Oh.
Body.
I punched a wall when I was younger, like a dumbass, and I broke my fifth metacarpal. They call it the boxer fracture.
Yeah, the boxer fracture.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that because my hands are swollen after a fight.
Wait for this face. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
That is, oh, my God. It's not worth the 10 grand. Jeez.
That's a tough look, man.
That's horrible.
Oh, my God. Here, wide, if you guys can see. That is crazy. Look at Alex's. I don't even think you'll be able to see it. That is crazy, man.
That's nuts. Like I said, with 8-ounce gloves and the wrap, my hands are swollen after a fight.
Oh.
Insanely swollen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I could barely close my hands after a fight. And that's hitting someone with gloves.
And how long does that take for that inflammation to go down?
Depends how much I want to take care of it, how much I want to ice it. I usually don't.
I don't either.
I'm like, screw this. I just fought, like, whatever. My hands are swollen. Yeah.
Couple days.
One time I was like 2 weeks. Ooh. I had like a real bad, I guess, bone bruise. Maybe fractured my hand. I don't know.
You had that shiner on your eye from this last fight.
I did.
Yeah, he headbutted you, right?
That was a headbutt, yeah. Yes, that definitely wasn't. I would have said if it was a punch, but that was a headbutt. I remember feeling it clash. And
Did you hear me talking shit to him during the match?
I think I do.
Yeah, I was talking. I know. Listen,
I remember in the moment hearing you.
Yeah,
I'll hear like certain voices, but I remember, because that kid was
like, "Who the fuck are you looking at?"
He was freaking. He was a cocky one.
Me, no boxing experience.
Yeah, just
I'll rip a Kimura.
I forgot what you were saying, but I remember you said some funny stuff.
I think you said you were laughing. I forget what I said, yeah, too. I just rattled off shit.
It was just random.
Yeah, I just rattled shit off. Yeah.
It's like, what?
I'm sitting next to the judges and shit, and they're looking at me. I'm like, what, man? I'm here for him. I'm taking
pictures. Relax. Yeah,
commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like, get this fucking kid out of here.
Yeah, I remember that. I swelled up, and I was scared because that's where I got cut in one of my fights. Bad.
Yeah.
So I was scared I was going to slice open again.
Well, you find that the same spots, like, usually you, is that like a, not a weak point for you, but you find that those are the spots that usually bust open quicker?
Yeah, you build up that scar tissue. Like, you could see, like, the scar under here. So once it swelled up, the scar came up top.
Yeah, I was, now I'm looking at it, it's a little thicker.
Yeah, so.
And what do you do for that? Nothing.
If in the fight?
No, now.
Oh, now nothing, no. Nothing. I just got it stitched up after,
it's just,
after
it's the just, one fight. It's just the inflammation, that's it, right?
That's it. It's just weaker, that's it.
Yeah.
The more you get cut, the more easily you cut. So you don't want to build up that.
So there's some dudes that just fucking drip everywhere.
Some guys, yeah, that just have tons of Paulie Malignaggi, tons of scar tissue. First round, boom, sliced open. It's because it's so weak, the skin, at that point. I don't want that.
No. Stay not getting hit.
Just getting that one set of stitches was horrible.
Oh, dude, I got 30 stitches in my head, my forehead. You know, feel how thin that skin in your forehead is.
Yeah, that's not. That's
30
not.
Stitches in there. They had to stitch the muscle together underneath the head, which is why it's like almost frozen in time right there.
That's what they did with me. Underneath and then on the outside.
And then the skin on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not fun. That was not fun.
No. Just the needle numbing you.
Oh, my God. Oh, it was like this big. Oh. And she was like digging it in my forehead.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't a good time. That was definitely one of Nick's one of Nick's more traumatic memories of just not wanting to live at that point.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm good on this. It was tough, man. Me and this kid, I don't know if I've ever said the story on the podcast, but I've told a lot. All my friends know it. Me and this, we were playing flag football. Everything was fine, blah, blah, blah. I was playing safety. I was in the end zone. And my buddy on the other team, this is like 3 days before New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Starts snowing. It's like the perfect, dude, it's the perfect outdoor football game. We're blasting, ripping down the field. We're feeling great, this and that. And then I'm in the end zone and I'm just looking. I go, oh, he's going to launch this in the middle and I'm just going to snag this like fucking just midair. I'm going to look, in my mind, I'm going to look like the most athletic guy in the world. But what everyone else is going to see is me barely come off the ground, but still grab the ball.
It's like slow-mo to you too. You're like, oh, this looks great.
It was, dude. So I'm watching him. He hikes the ball. He's kind of like going a little bit. He goes to run. So I start moving up and he stops because he sees me. And then he just lobs it over the middle. Bro, cut. I run flat out.
Yeah.
And I dive for the ball. Other kid on my team had the same idea.
Oh,
bro,
no.
We collided faces midair. So all you heard was,
oh,
was that his jaw and his. So basically what happened was it was like I got sandwiched like that from that. So his top tooth cut through the muscle in my forehead. And then his jaw pushed my nose that way. I broke my nose, and which is why I still have sinus issues. And as I came down from the bus hitting each other, he was out cold. No one even knew he was hurt. He was out. He was just like knocked out. Yeah. But me, the psycho that I am, I stumble, and as I bring my head up, all I remember is seeing drip, 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 and it was shooting out of my forehead.
Oh.
So now I start grabbing my forehead like this, and I'm going like this, and it's everywhere. And now I'm getting angry, and I'm going, I hate needles, so I'm going, I'm going to have to get stitches now. And the more I'm getting angry, the more it's coming out because of my blood pressure. Yeah. So they throw me on the ground. They put a hoodie on my face. They're like, Nick, you got to chill out. Chill the fuck out. I'm going crazy. And then they go, oh shit, he's down. Like they go to the other kid.
They forgot about it.
They didn't fucking know because my psycho ass, I'm yelling and the blood's shooting out of my forehead. His teeth went through his bottom lip, dislocated his jaw. It was a bad injury. It was bad. I got the better.
I was going to say, I don't think I want my.
Nah.
I think I'd rather stitch.
They wired him up. They wired him up in the hospital.
And the teeth through you.
Mm-hmm. And then so that top tooth was sliced through my forehead. So I was laying there. I called my mom. I was like directing people. I'm like, you. Call the ambulance. Do this. I'm like, I'm calling Karen.
Yeah, Karen.
I call my mom and I was like, and I said, Mom, I got hurt. She's like, and single mom. She's like, what? I'm like, chill.
Don't be a Karen.
You're gonna be getting me crazy right now. Don't you get me more upset? I'm like, chill out. I go, I don't know how bad it is, but my head's bleeding. This and that. And we're gonna. So then I give the phone to my friend, and he's off to the side. The paramedics get there, and she goes, how bad is it? He's like, it's not great. It's really not good. So, you know, his nose is broken too, I think. And she goes, does he know about the nose? And he goes, no. She goes, don't say anything. And as they're talking about this on the phone, the paramedic comes up and he goes, all right, who's hurt? And he goes, oh, shit, kid, you broke your fucking nose, huh? And I went, what do you mean I broke my nose?
So I start feeling like sideways.
It was bad. It was bad. I don't know if I have the picture. Yeah, it was bad. It was a good time. So then I, you know, rush to the hospital. They're asking me, who's the president? Who's this? Who's that?
Oh, yeah, like, all those silly questions.
I don't fucking know, bro.
Fix me.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Can you just, like, tell me if I'm dying or not? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Just
tell me here.
Let me see if it's on here. It's probably on my Google Photos. Yeah, man. And then my nose was so swollen, they couldn't re-break it and set it. I had to come back in 3 days. They said, we can't. We don't know what's broken and what's swollen. Oh. And just from tissue.
You're making me cringe.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Rough. It was not one of my prouder moments. And people have asked me in the past, hey, do you want to go to, would you like to go to the, like play flag football, stuff like that? Nope. I'm good.
I'll call the place.
There's me and the kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You got to see the
actual. Yeah, your nose was not.
Oh, you got to see the good. Actual picture of my nose like dead on. That shit was snapped. There you go. There's the paramedics hanging out with me.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the bridge. Oh, right at the top. Yeah, it wasn't a good time.
Yeah, it looks like someone just bit you in the forehead.
Yeah, you see how deep that cut is? It was bad, man. And then she had, unfortunately, because it's teeth, they're serrated. They're jagged. They're not clean.
Mm-hmm.
So because the wound wasn't clean cut, she had to cut tissue away and they had to start pushing to pull it. It was a plastic surgeon that had to do it for me. She was pushing it and doing it. Dude, it was 25 minutes of her doing stitches to me. 25 minutes. I was laying there. I had all my boys in the room. I have a whole video of me getting the stitches, of me on tons of drugs, and me just saying shit.
And then just feeling it just pop through your skin.
I'll tell you what, man. As it went on, I didn't feel anything. I felt like nothing. No. They numbed me to the core. Like I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel any, no pressure, nothing.
I don't know if it was in my head then or just, I was like, he needs to finish up already. Like,
well, and it's tough for you because it's right over your eye.
Yeah, it's just.
So that's like just, they're just like right here and you're watching it. At least here, I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, I was like watching it and just seeing the needle go through and like, oh my God, how many more are you going to do?
I hate medical shit. I really do. And now, ironically, with the hemochromatosis that I have, or I think I'm like 90% sure, I got the genetic test for it a week ago. So I'm waiting for the genetic test to come back to see if I actually full blown have it.
Yeah.
But I've always feared needles my entire life. I've always hated needles.
Yeah.
And ironically, I potentially have the disease that requires you to get every 3 months phlebotomies.
Oh.
So you have to donate blood every 3 months.
I hate giving blood. Doing anything like that. Like I've gotten tattoos. That's different. But giving blood and stuff, I'm freaking out.
It took a lot. It took a lot for me to go.
I can't look. I'm.
Yeah, it took a lot for me to go the first time in October. I was really feeling shitty. Mm-hmm. And I my iron levels were still high. And it took a lot for me to just muster the courage up, go to the donation center, sit there, allow them to do it. It was tough. The second one, this last time, wasn't bad. I mean,
depends who does it too. I've been stabbed up before.
I think his name's Julio. My man down at the Melville Blood Center, dude, you don't even feel it go in.
That then.
He is so good. You don't feel it go in. You actually just go, oh, we're going.
Yeah,
like it's done. And then when he's done, he does the move where he hits you with the cotton ball. But as he hits you with the cotton ball, he pulls the needle out and he just goes, hey, you hold that there. And you go, oh, wow, I don't even realize it. That's how I usually am. It's so crazy. My mother will testify in court that I'm usually, anytime blood or needles or thing comes up, I'm like that.
I hate when they take it out too. Like you said, just the feeling. Oh,
bro. And it's so crazy that I'm just getting so accustomed to doing it now that I'm not even fazed by it. I did a pint in 4.5 minutes. It was shooting out of me. Oh, yeah, dude.
I can't.
He double took. He's like, oh, dude, you're done. 4.5 minutes. What? He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, man, I guess. Oh, who's getting that? Who's getting that fucking, Captain America blood.
Yeah.
Bro. And then I got my
back in there.
And then I got my test levels done.
Uh-huh.
My test I posted on Instagram the other night. Almost 750.
Oh, that.
Almost 750. And my free test, which I didn't post, is 138. It's almost that's almost at like the point of too high a free test.
That's great.
Meanwhile, months ago, it was like 550, 520.
When I was cutting weight, you know what I was at?
Probably.
When I was training?
Probably like 150.
200.
Yeah, bro.
I didn't know. I had no idea. I'd probably been fighting like that for years. I actually got my blood work done while training. Like, dude, you're low. Like, man.
Even after all this, when's the last time you got blood work?
Last time I got blood work, 2 months ago, I was good.
Okay.
I was good.
What were your test levels?
I think 5.
Okay, that's good.
520.
Yeah.
515.
I thought I was going to have to go on TRT. Like, if I was in the 5 still, my guy was going to recommend I try to bring my levels up to 8. And I sent him the levels. He goes, oh, no, no, no. He goes, usually people do TRT to get to your levels. He goes, do not touch anything.
I did the other one because I can't take TRT and stuff with boxing.
Yeah, boxing and everything.
What is it? HCG, HGC, something like that. Like raises it naturally.
Yeah, it's like.
But it makes you fertile. So like, hey.
Oh, hey. You better relax.
Yeah, like, you better be careful.
Don't get trapped. I just had to have a conversation with my boy recently. I was like, yo, man, I love you. But, you know, your girl's giving pull the goalie vibes and not tell you. I was like, you better chill out, dog.
You
better relax, man.
And so every time they give me it, they're like, be careful. It's very, very fertile.
Yes. The higher test levels do.
Yeah. But this is like specifically for, I think, people that struggle to get a woman pregnant or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know what, you know, obviously in the federations that you do, I don't know what's technically okay because I feel like that's ever changing and they always adapt those. But I take Tribulus right now after my blood test. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have low T. Yeah. So I ordered Tribulus, which is just like a natural way to raise test and.
Yeah.
I've used it before in the past and it's always been fine. No side effects, nothing like that. And I started taking it the day after my blood work because I'm like, all right, I'm probably going to be lower. So I want to just like get a head start. And then I get these numbers. I'm like, oh Jesus, I don't know if I want it higher, man.
Give me more.
Yeah. So I'm going to take it anyway. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it, man.
It's crazy though.
All these motherfuckers at jiu-jitsu, so some of these higher end guys are definitely on test, man.
Oh my God.
And you look at them and you go, oh, I'm going to let you put me in a triangle. Yeah, yeah. No way, dude.
You could see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy because I was like, I'm always so tired. I was thinking it was because of the training I went through. Then once it got back to normal levels, I'm like, oh, I feel good. I don't mind doing stuff, but I was so tired all the time.
That's what I've been experiencing lately. That's what made me think that I had, lethargy and all these different symptoms. Those are some of the hemochromatosis, so that's why I donate. And then just, I'm trying to rack my brain with certain things. I had a little bit of brain fog, a little bit of like this and that. I was trying to figure out what was the problem.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and still, you know, you start racking your brain like, could it be this? Could it be that? Yeah. Could it be this? Could it be that? And then I just start thinking, and I'm like, bro, you train weights in the morning usually, 6:15 in the morning. Okay. Then you go to jiu-jitsu at night. You're working all day. You're making sure the dog's good. You're doing this, you're doing that. And then you're not sleeping until maybe like 10 o'clock at night, and you're getting like a very up and down, restless sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're tired, bro.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
Yeah.
Go to bed. And so you just, you know, and then I was under eating for a while too. Like I've gained a little bit of weight right now, maybe like 2 pounds. And I want to get back down to 188. I'm like 193 right now, 192. Mm-hmm. But I was under eating for months, not recovering, just under eating.
Yeah.
Sick.
I know that.
Sick.
I know that.
Yeah. So it's tough, man. I don't know. You listen to all these, you know, these health gurus and all these different people, and you start looking at all their protocols. And they're every morning I wake up and I do this, and I never take XYZ, and I don't drink, and I don't smoke weed, and I don't do that. And you go, oh, okay, like if I do a cold plunge right before the gym, and then I go to the gym, and then I come back and I sit in the sauna for a half hour, and then I stretch, and it's like, bro. What do you do all day?
Yeah.
Like if I had to take all of these protocols and I had to utilize them every single day, I wouldn't have any time at all to do anything else. Yeah. So it's like you have to selectively choose. And then unfortunately you start to hear all of these things and you go, well, I want to try that because they said that these are the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're just like, I'm just adding more shit that I have to do. And I'm just, is it going to be worth it? You know, is it? And then you almost have, paralysis by option. There's too many things that you want to do or that too many options. It's like you go to a buffet.
Yeah.
Everything looks great. Where do I start?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like you sit there for a second, you just go, all right, what do I want first?
Yeah.
You almost have to like have less options.
I know.
Less knowledge. You know, when you can look everything up in 4.5 seconds, we're accustomed to just like learning things on the fly, whether it retains in our information or not, we learn something about something that we're questioning, and then we make decisions based on that learned material.
Yeah.
But we have almost too much knowledge on a daily basis at this point. There's too much coming at us.
Yeah. Never just chill.
Yeah.
There's something new, always something new.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, for you with fighting especially, it's like, how many people tell you that you should be doing it this way? And, oh, well, I heard that this new training is good.
Yeah.
And this modality.
Contradicting,
yeah. This modality will help you with this. Yeah. And, oh, your diet should be this, or the weight cutting needs to be like this. It's like, holy shit. Yeah. Can everyone leave me the fuck alone?
I know. That's how I am. It's like, just relax. Like, there's so many different ways. Just let me do what's been working. Like, I'm going to stick to that. And that's it. I don't like changing stuff. Sometimes, yeah. You know, maybe I'll go get a massage or something, which is probably what I should do.
Yeah, you definitely should do that.
Yeah, and it helped a lot for my last fight. That did, but...
Do you go to... You get PT work done and everything?
Not PT work, but my last fight, I was getting, like, deep tissue massages, like my lower back.
You should go to my guys, Scott, and all of them. They work with a lot of fighters.
Yeah?
Yeah, they deal with a lot of just, like, nagging injuries. They'll do all of the ART... the active release technique of opening up fascia, the muscle tissue, and all that stuff. Just if you have certain things that are like clicking or hinging and this and that.
I never took care of my body in that aspect. So doing that helped a lot. Like the muscle, my lower back, it would just dig into it. And it was painful, but I felt good. But just from training and then the gun belt being on all day and that weight.
That shit, dude, I hear from all my officer friends, that shit is rough.
Bad. It's really bad.
How heavy is it?
It's got to be like 30 pounds, got to be 20, 30.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And I took a lot off now because I wear it up here now.
Yeah, and then you have the armor.
Yeah, the armor and then sitting in the car. Yesterday, my back is going, I'm like.
My back's going right now in this chair.
I got to get out the car, yeah.
My back's going in this chair.
Yeah.
And I got nothing.
Yeah, mine's always tight. I'm like always fidgeting.
Always fidgeting, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just become from being quote unquote athletes.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, guess.
Rolling around, definitely. You roll around.
I'll tell you what was getting jacked up bad. What was getting jacked up really bad, and it was a problem for a while until I figured out that I need to like actually stretch. And I bought the chirp wheels, and I bought the SoRight and the neck, you know, that they sell
to open up the
neck tissue. Yeah. Bro, my neck was getting beat up bad. No, like really bad. Headaches, and which I never get.
Yeah.
Headaches and just tension and clicking. You get like the Batman neck, where you have to like turn like this every 3 seconds. Dude, it's horrible, man. Not being able to like actually turn your neck.
Yeah, no, that's
and then you start looking, oh, should I get like the iron neck and invest in that? And you look at the iron neck price, like $600. Yeah. Oh my God, bro.
Yeah, come
please,
on.
Where is that? Put iron neck on blast right now. The fuck are they made? Because if that's made in China for $600, I'm going to lose it right now. Let's see.
No way, it's China.
It has to be.
You think so?
Yeah. They probably wouldn't even put this on their account, on their site, now that I'm thinking about it, where it's made. Unless it's
smart, if it's
proudly made in America. Oh, wait. It's $100 off today. It's $499.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
$600. That is insane. I mean, listen, they have 890 five-star reviews. Okay. That's great. Or, well, it's 4.5 stars technically. But...
You got to also...
I wonder if they inhibit...
It's real.
The bullshit reviews.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Or maybe at this point, I would get skeptical that companies use AI to just like mass generate reviews that look good.
It's hard reading reviews now because you don't know what's true.
It's hard watching anything because you don't know what's true.
Yeah.
Hard fucking watching
anything. That is true.
It really is. I don't believe anything anymore.
It's nuts.
I'll tell you about, you know, I was watching Elon Musk do the debate I have with people. And I always love people's reactions because they think I'm like stupid. Yeah. And I'm not stupid. I just want to know.
Yeah.
He did a whole presentation about in the next 20 years how we're going to colonize Mars. Pretty interesting. Pretty cool. Like he's talking about multiple like Andromeda style just battleships waiting in orbit. And then once everything's ready to go, they all just go at the same time.
What?
I mean, pretty cool shit. But then I, you know, I'm talking to my mom about it and I just said, yeah, well, space isn't real. And she goes, why do you say that? I go, have you been up there?
Yeah.
I haven't been up there. I don't know. I'm just being told that it's real. I don't know if it's real.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm not saying it is.
Yeah. That's kind of how I think. How do we know?
How do we know? How do we know? How do I know? How many satellites are just orbiting around Earth?
Yeah.
I get they stay in our orbit and that's what keeps them in our location. But I mean... You know, I'm not an astrophysicist. I'm not like these hyper intellectual kind of guys. I'm a regular guy, but you start to actually think about things, you just go, okay. Yeah, maybe. Until maybe. I don't know. I told her. I said, I'm going to go. I've had enough of this planet.
If I make it back, I'll make it back. Whatever.
I've had it. I told her. I said, Kenji will be long, 20 years, 25 years. Kenji will be long gone. She's like, she goes, oh, don't say that. I go, Mom, he'll be long gone. It is what it is. Like, it sucks to think that, but, I go, but he'll be gone. I said, so, you know, at that point, I still probably won't get any texts back. So at this point, I might as well go to Mars because I got a better shot with a Martian.
Hanging out with the Mars, probably a great time.
No, but Drake's already DMing them. So he's already offering them. I'm going to be looking as I'm going and the flight, they're going to be going to Earth. I'll be like, what the fuck? He sent the ship?
Yeah, you can't win.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
You can't win.
Let's see. Debbie. Fucking hysterical.
Oh my God.
Certifications. I don't want certifications. Where's it made? Where is the Iron Neck made? Let's just Google it.
Not, it's China. No way.
It's probably China. Bro, this this titanium iPhone's made in China. That's the shirt is made in Austin, Texas. Nah, don't do that. Where is the device made?
They're not going to post it.
They're not.
No way.
No, they're not going to post it.
China. That's China.
I can't believe nobody's asking this.
You got to be the first one.
Former UCLA football player Mike Jolly designs a prototype for isometric rotational neck strengthener in Southern California. Is that the beginning of it? Oh, yeah, that's the beginning of it. So the UCLA football player. Interesting. Oh, that was 2012. After seeing college teammates' lives, this is basically a fucking ad for them now. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
After seeing college teammates' lives, after I'm just trashing five minutes. After seeing college teammates' lives ruined from head injuries and CTE, accurate.
Yeah.
Jolly developed the concept once he learned of new research associating neck strength and lowered concussion risk. Interesting.
Made in China.
Yeah. All right. That was in 2012. Let's jump to the timeline to 2022. Made in China. Mike realized that he couldn't make any fucking money by making this in the States. So he decided to opt for a Chinese manufacturer. Yeah. He sought out Alibaba before it was Alibaba. And you can actually buy it for $4.50.
And loaded.
Yeah. I had that debate with Andre. Andre was just like, do you support American-made company just because it's American-made? Or do you actually... I was like, dude, I support it because I like the product. But when I see American-made, it does make me want to support a company more. Because we have to stop protecting everybody else. We got to fucking focus on ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
We got to focus on ourselves. Monetarily, our community, our people, our veterans, our officers. We have to focus on us.
Yeah.
Tired of focusing on everybody else.
Especially nowadays.
Bro. I'm tired of outsourcing all this bullshit. I'm tired of doing all this. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't. And you're going to tell me that they're not cutting corners over there so they make more money off us? Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Stop it. Yeah, it's common knowledge, man. They don't give a shit about us. They never have. They never will. No. All they care about us is that we are generating income for them and money in their pockets in their country.
Yeah.
Without actually having to do business here. Yeah. But now this new shit is going to be interesting with BRICS and them separating all these countries, Brazil, China, Russia, all of them separating themselves from the U.S. currency. Bro, we're going to see some shit in the next couple of years. It's going to be very, very like textbook style shit.
It's getting weird.
And it's going to get weirder. Yeah. That's the problem. God. The problem is it's going to get weirder.
World's weird enough now.
Oh, it's weird enough, man.
People, freaking everything.
I know what you want to say. It's okay.
I don't know. What do I want to say?
You don't have to say nothing.
What do I want to say?
No. He just
what, girls?
Oh, well, girls are fucking... Well, that's a different weird. Girls are very weird, but
oh God,
very strange. Here we go.
You're going to get ripped apart for that one. I didn't say it. You said it.
I said it. The girls that I interact with, and then you'd be like, well, you're looking in the wrong place. I've looked everywhere. I don't know where else I can look. Everywhere. Anybody got an adventure I can go on to Middle Earth at this point?
My hinge range is going all the way to China.
Oh, my God. My hinge range is to Mars, but Drake evidently beat me there. Bunch of bullshit. Yeah, dude. I don't know. Everybody acts very strange nowadays.
Yeah,
we talked about that already. I mean, with the people that are out in the streets and stuff like that, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's a lack of, just moral compass anymore. I don't know if it's a lack of just people don't give a fuck and they only care about, because we've been blindsided by watching everyone's lives on those phones. I don't know what it is. And I don't think there's a solution to it. I think the solution is, I think the solution starts with the younger generations that are coming up now, and you have to limit the amount of time that they spend on these devices
That's the thing. They all have it so early now that whatever they see is like...
Like if you had a kid right now, I'm not wishing that on you. But if you had a kid right now...
Don't wish that
on you. I'm not wishing it on you. But if you had a kid right now, what's the earliest that they would be allowed to have a cell phone?
I'm trying to think of when I got it. I think I got my own cell phone sophomore or junior year of high school.
That sounds about right. Because I was having panic attacks in the bathroom because I hated my school. So my mom got me a cell phone so I could hit her up whenever I needed it.
Yeah. And then
I had a razor.
Yeah. And yeah, me too. And then, you know, they take it away, whatever. I was on it too much, or I'd do something stupid at school.
Playing too much Snake.
Be freaking out. Yeah. Be freaking out. But that's the tough thing now too, though, because if you have a kid and you don't give them that phone, and it's like you're doing the wrong thing. Like they're freaking out. We had a kid come into the precinct the other day. Like my dad took my phone.
No, stop. Get the fuck out of here, Junior.
Yeah, with his dad. His dad brought him in. He's like, my dad took my phone for a few hours and he keeps doing it.
Hmm.
And, you know, the cops are like, the desk officers are like, you got to get off your phone.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
I told him, I'm like, my parents used to do the same thing. They were like, no Xbox during the week. You know, only on the weekends. You know, all my friends would be playing during the week and this and that. I'd hop on whenever they jumped out, but... You know, they went out to dinner or whatever, but that's what they did with me. They take my phone all the time, but I never thought about going to the cops. He was saying like he can't do that. It's like he was whatever, 13. You live in their home under their rules. They can do what they want, you know, until you move out. But it's crazy.
I just think about the Billy Madison, stay here as long as you can. Yeah. I look at these kids and they're just, I'm so miserable home. Like, yo, bro, stay.
I know.
I'm telling you, man, once you get out here, it's a trip, man.
Well, I just left after my fight.
Yeah.
I moved into Babylon. Like, man, spending double the money.
Oh, yeah, man.
Again, it's nice having the freedom. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it's beautiful having the freedom.
It's great.
But at the same time, it's lonely, man.
Yeah.
Unless you got a girl, unless you got like a dog, which thankfully I have Kenji because he saved me on more occasions than not.
Yeah.
Just, you know, with being, feeling that loneliness.
Yeah.
Dude, it's lonely, man.
No, it's tough.
Especially when we do what we do, man. We go to work, we do our thing, podcast, jujitsu, the gym, and then I'm home.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I mean, I'm not going to just go places just to go there. That's not my personality. No. I'm not just going to go to the city and no, let's go explore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to do that.
No, time drags. Like I have a roommate.
You have a roommate?
Yeah, he's my best friend, but he's not around a lot. He's always traveling for work. And when he's not around, I'm like, I hit the gym, I get stuff done, blah, 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 and it's like 3 o'clock. I'm like, I don't know.
Especially on a Saturday, Sunday, that weird middle Sunday, point.
I'm off 4 days a week now with the being on nights, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm bored. Like, I could only work out so much, run so much, read a book so much, and still freaking early. I'm like, yeah, unless you have something to distract you. I don't know. Like you said, girlfriend, dog. I don't have a dog. I don't have my dog anymore.
I know. And that's the thing, man. You have to almost be okay with like being bored and not having a distraction because it's almost like the distractions inherently make us, we get worse off because of them.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly distracted by things, it actually impacts us worse.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That was like, I'm telling you, that was that digital minimalism book I read. It was so interesting. It really was. And it really did make me want to change a lot. The last couple of week, I was on my work phone way too much.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was a little bit quiet for a couple weeks for me. Like just my retainer work. And I was just like, there wasn't really a lot of new clients. And then all of a sudden, a ton of new clients just bursted open the fucking door. And it's just like, okay, so now I'm on that constantly, checking emails, doing things, planning shoots, this and that. I'm blessed. I appreciate that. But then you start to realize like, fuck, like I kind of missed when that phone was just very quiet and I was able to just read and just chill and no TV on and quiet time.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting that quiet time, you almost have to make sure that you slot that quiet time in for yourself.
Yeah, the quiet time is nice. I'll pick up overtime at work, if anything. But yeah, you need the quiet time. Just too much for me. Like, I get in my head. I think about.
We all do.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
That's that, so, but you know, that's everybody.
Yeah.
Because like the second that there isn't something that's going to have your attention, now your attention goes internal and it goes into your head. And unfortunately, you have to fight those demons because we all have them. Mm-hmm. We all talk to them and we all hear them. And you have to be able to just like live with it, because the more that you distract yourself, the less time it's like sparring time.
Yeah.
The more time that you're out of the ring, the rustier you're going to be. Mm-hmm. The less fights that you have, the less, you know, well-versed you're going to be when you go against somebody.
Yeah.
But now on the opposite end, the more that you've done it, the more you've sat with yourself and taken the time to like confront your dark thoughts and things that you find strange or upsetting in this life.
Yeah.
The more you've confronted those, that mental chatter isn't going to faze you when it's quiet again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Like I said, when I thought about, you know, I was like, oh, I got to do this, got to do that and get this done. That's why it was nice just realizing like, you know, everything I set out to do, I did. It's like, you good, chill out, stop stressing over relax, so much. Man. Like, life's good.
Yeah.
Life's good.
Life's good until I got to go to the grocery store again and I spend another $300 in a week.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I look at it. I don't even say, I used to joke with the cashiers. I don't even say anything anymore because I know they're just miserable. They're so irritated that they have to just rob people blindly. And I just, I used to be like, wow, 25 for a steak, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Thank God for Redefine Meals.
Shout out Redefine. Shout out, which I truthfully, my stomach is grumbling right now. Yeah. I don't know about yours.
Yeah.
But are you working after this?
No, I go back tomorrow night.
So. Okay, so you're off for it.
Yeah, I'm off.
All right, so we're going to Redefine after this.
Oh, yeah.
You're in town. We're going to go to Redefine. We're going to go to some Redefine because I'm fucking starving. Yeah, dude, it's just, it's interesting. It's interesting becoming an adult because I thought I was an adult at 25 and I wasn't.
No.
I thought I was an adult at 28. I wasn't. I still think I'm gonna. I at this point now, at the other side of 30, so I'm 32 now. I'll be 33 in August. Weird, but at 33, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, yeah. I used to think I was an adult, and normally I'd look at myself presently and be like, yeah, you're an adult until you get older and you realize no, you're not. Now though, I go, yeah, I'm not an adult. I have no fucking idea what the hell I'm doing out here.
Yeah, I just turned 29. I'm like, is this normal? I'm like, I feel
no idea.
I'm like,
no idea what I'm doing, bro.
I don't know what's going on. I'm winging it by the day.
Right, Kenji? We're just figuring it out. We're just figuring it out day by day. I don't know. And it could be an unsettling feeling all on its own because we're trying to find our place. You're trying to find what, you know, at least you love your job. A lot of people don't love their job.
I'm lucky,
You know, and unfortunately, even people that have passions for, listen, I love what I do. I do. Mm-hmm. I love that I have the freedom to hang out with Kenji most of the day and make my own schedule and podcast and do my thing. There's a lot of benefits, but there are a lot of stressors that come with my side of work. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, although I love what I do, everything does become a job.
Yeah.
You know, because you love what you do, but like that drunk that you told five times to stop fucking with other people and they keep doing it. Now it's like, all right, I love what I do, but now I got to grab this motherfucker.
Yeah. And now something happens and then now you're stuck.
Yes.
You know, you work 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. Now you don't get out till 1 p.m. You're stuck there and that's like a bad day.
Yeah.
But luckily, for the most part, you have your bad days.
Just hide. Just come to my apartment. Just hide. Yeah. You can just hide.
It'd be raising me on the radio. But
I don't know. Kenji answers.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that? What's Vargas's radio doing?
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Terrible. All right. So tell me, what's next steps? We're waiting for the, I know you said you're waiting for the potential fights to come up. Maybe Dubai, maybe MSG.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully the Dubai thing comes through. Right now we're just working on getting on the card. For that, even if I made
less than
it's got to be at least 2 months from now so I could get the weight down.
Is there an event though that's scheduled?
There's an event, but it's not scheduled. But from what it seems like, it would be like two months away. But you never know. It could be five, whatever it is. And even if I got paid a little less than what I deserve, that's a life experience to go to Dubai and fight. Mm-hmm. I would do it. So
I was out there.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I was out there when I shot some stuff for Redcon with Kai. I was in Dubai.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. I didn't really get to see it. You know, I saw it through a screen this big. But it was interesting. Everybody was super friendly. I'll tell you that.
I heard.
Everyone was super friendly, except for the people that were at the expo. The people at the expo were assholes. Assholes. Some of the fans were just really dirtbaggy. They were just pushing to get to the front of the line. They wouldn't listen to you. I almost fought this Somalian dude. He was an asshole, man. That dude was a dick. Big African dude.
Yeah.
He was an asshole, man. And I put the camera down. I was like, bro, what are you going to do, man? I was like, what are you going to do? I did not fly from New York to deal with this shit. I go, but I'm here. Like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Like, in front of Kai and everybody.
I left, I left New York to get away from New York, and you're acting like you're in New York.
And then he just like walked away. He was just giving me shit. Basically, long story short, he cut the line. He cut the line, and the dudes from Redcon said, yo, you can't cut the line. And he just goes, yeah. And he comes and stands next to me. Now I'm standing in front of Kai, filming Kai.
Yeah.
So I look at him and I just go, now I'm distracted.
Yeah.
I turn to him and I go, bro. I said, I literally just heard them say that you can't cut the line. Please get to the back of the line.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, oh, don't worry, I will. And he like pats me on the shoulder and I look at him and I just go,
oh God.
Now he's tall. I mean, he's a taller dude.
Yeah.
He's big. I'm looking at him. I just go, okay. I said, hey man, remember when you just said like you were going to go to the back of the line? You're still standing here though. It's kind of interesting that you're not moving.
Yeah.
He just goes, yeah. And I he's like, he goes, don't worry, brother. He goes, don't worry. And I look at him and I go, I'm not worried. First off, I go, but do you see how you keep saying that you're going to do things and you don't do them? Yeah. I go, that makes me irritated. I go, and I don't want to be irritated. And he goes, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? And he puts his hand on my shoulder.
Oh no.
Like just like putting it, just like in a dominating way. Yeah, like just like, just like this, like
grading,
like this.
Yeah.
And I like shook his shoulder, his hand on my shoulder. I put the camera down. And I went, yo, bro. I was like, if you touch me again, it's going to be a fucking problem. I'm not playing with you, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not here to play with you, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and we're just looking at each other. And that, and then he like squared up a little bit with me. Like he like was getting in his bag. And that's when I went, yo, what are you going to do, bro?
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to do over here right now? And then he just looked at me and he walked away and he waited online. We could have avoided all of that.
Unnecessary.
Yeah. All of that. But yeah, people are just weird. People are fucking strange. They just want to, I don't know if it's a, especially the guys, I don't know if it's just a testosterone thing. Or
the egos now.
Egos, man.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. There's a kid at jiu-jitsu. He's a super nice kid, man. But he thought he gives his first class. I just taught him how to do an elbow escape. I mean, that's like one of the most basic things. And even when you try to hit it, especially on upper belts, it barely works.
Yeah.
So like, I'm showing him how to do it. He barely knows what he's doing. And then after we're done drilling it for like a couple of minutes, he looks at me and he just goes, so how do I do? You think I'm going to be good at this? And I'm like, well, dog, you got a while, man.
It takes time.
Yeah, just wait till your knee pops.
Yeah.
Then you'll be like, fuck. I was like, so it's like, I don't know, the egos. And not to say that he was ego-driven, but just like, you don't want to be weak. You don't want to be emasculated. You don't want to be like that. People have a hard time of just like suppressing that inner thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool, bro. I'll tap to anybody. I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't matter to me. I'm actively trying not to fight people.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to let you get away with shit when you act like that. So don't act like that.
Rightfully so.
So on the topic of Dubai was awesome. Truthfully, it was cool. The flight was long as shit. I had a dude coughing on the back of my neck for 13 hours and he didn't speak English. And I was like, man,
you're always getting, is it you?
Bro,
you're always getting screwed on flights.
Bro,
right?
I have
babies and stuff.
I have people message me, no babies on the flight. Yeah, I guess you take all that baby karma.
Yeah.
I was like, man, every flight I'm on, all I hear are the baby screaming.
I lose my
mind. The entire time. Every flight to Germany, back from Germany, to Hawaii, back from Hawaii, fucking California 3 or 4 times, Vegas, every flight, there is a child screaming on my flight. And then I have friends that had never had a kid on their flight, ever. I'm like, what time are you booking these flights? Because I need to know. I book 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night flights. Baby. I book ass crack of dawn flights, baby.
Yeah, you get screwed with that.
I book midday flight, baby.
the videos kill me.
Oh yeah.
Like baby screaming in
I pay for the Wi-Fi intentionally to just show people how miserable I am on the flight.
Up.
Yeah. And truthfully, towards the end of it, I would just laugh.
Yeah.
Just laugh. I laugh at the parents. I laugh at them. I'm just like, because it's ridiculous, man. Okay. I know in some ways they can't handle, especially little babies.
Yeah.
You can't help it. I get it. I really do. I don't have a kid, but I can only imagine the anxiety that you go through once your baby starts screaming. I got to get out of here because I don't want these people to judge me.
Yeah.
I get it. Even if you don't care about people and their judgment of you, you still have that feeling of like, I don't want to disturb people if you're a good human.
Yeah.
But well,
some of them don't care.
And that's the thing. Some of them don't care. And then they have like kids, 5, 6, 7. And you're like, dude.
Yeah.
Discipline your child. Yeah. Tell them that that's enough. It's like my next door neighbor. Her kids walk around like they're wearing steel shoes when they're there, running back and forth. And I tell my landlord all the time, hey, Kenj. I tell my landlord all the time, you love Alex.
What's up, Kenji?
He's been sleeping. So I tell my neighbor too, and I'm just like, bro, it's bad, man. And she didn't tell him that she had kids before mm-hmm. she came in. But all you hear is just like the feet. It's like, and the screaming, like the screech that children do.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, I know that they're excited. They're little kids. They're having fun. But at some point as a parent, you got to be like, hey, you got to take it down. There's people that live in this building. Yeah. There's people on this flight. No. Every flight I'm on, I get the parents that are just like, well, fuck it. Fuck it. Let them cry.
I'm doing it.
Great. So anyway, that Dubai trip would be something else. And do me a favor, hold that belt up for the camera. I know it's heavy, man. I was not expecting it to be that heavy.
Where is it? There it is. Get in there.
Yeah. Oh, did he knock the camera over?
Yeah, it moved, I think.
He's such a jerk, man.
Yeah, because I was like, did I move?
No, Kenji, you jerk.
Bro, that's what happened. Yeah, what an ass. Because I looked up when Kenji was, I was like, oh, I must have moved back or something.
What a jerk. And I don't even think that thing is rolling the entire time. I don't even fucking care. We got the audio. But anyway, that's exciting. You fucking manifested that shit. You talked about it.
Yeah, I remember we said it. Next time
we'll said next back, time you're coming back, right, it's gonna be on. Maybe and I'm happen. I love that. It couldn't happen truly. Couldn't happen to a better deserving human on this planet.
Thank
for real.
You. Thank you.
And I'm excited to see where you go next.
Yeah.
For those that aren't following you currently, where can they follow my man Alex?
Instagram, AlexVargas631. And then Facebook, Alex Vargas. That's it.
I'm about to delete
mainly Instagram.
I'm about to deactivate.
Yeah.
It's corny, bro. I'm over it.
Yeah, Facebook.
Facebook shot.
The weirdos.
Yeah, now you want to talk about weirdos.
Yeah, that's where they really are.
Yeah, they're hanging out over
Instagram
there.
Instagram sucks too. I'm like, Instagram sucks. I gotta freaking use it.
You gotta just do something. You unfortunately.
I don't do enough too. I'm like, well, he's getting to like, dude, you gotta post more. I'm like, oh, all right.
Well, maybe we could slot you in with some of the brands I'm working with.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. That'd be fun stuff. Be great. Everybody listening, I appreciate all y'all for hanging out with us. I'm talking to this camera as if it's on. I don't know. But either way, this middle one's on. So I truly don't care. At some point, you have to throw your hands up and just be like, hey, it is what it is. I'm not going to get mad over it.
Audio.
Whatever. I got all the audio. That's the podcast. Everybody, please continue to share, like, subscribe on the podcast. It helps me to continue sitting down with amazing human beings like Alex. And I hope you learned something. I hope you laughed with us. It was a good time. We learned a lot. We know that Alex is never going to make the transition into bare knuckle boxing.
No way.
I appreciate all y'all for fucking with us. But for now, peace.